Session number 14621, Reel 2.
Captain Smith, Reel 2. You're saying you went to Huelva in Spain?
Yes, went there quite a few times. And didn't care a lot for it.
Why not?
The Spanish officials, they were all pro-German. All of them. And to be as obstructive as they could. The ordinary people didn't bother. The Spanish officials.
How could they obstruct you?
Oh, in all kinds of ways. Various ways. And once or twice I carried the Vice Consul's dispatches to Jib because he couldn't trust them going through the post.
Did you run into the enemy when you were in the Empire Trent?
Oh, yes, many times.
Can you describe what happened? Can you describe what happened?
Oh, there was submarine attacks and air attacks, and sometimes combined air and submarine attacks together. Because when you come home from Huelva, you had to go to Jib for convoy, and you come up right up Spanish coast. And when you got up by Cape Finisterre, you used to get these fucker wolf long-range bombers at you. They could bomb you 400 miles from land. You'd get attacked by them, sometimes combined with U-boats at the same time. Then you had all... Sometimes I was left on my own, so you just used to paddle up. We had a nasty attack one time. I was trailing convoy, gradually falling back, you know. And he attacked us with his fucker wolves. Then one come and picked my ship out. And I told the gunner, I said, "You just keep your gun on him. Don't take any notice of me. You keep your gun on him, because I'll be handling ship." So we did. And he fought a duel with that fucker wolf for about a period of 36 hours.
36 hours?
Yeah. He kept going back and refueling and coming over. I mean, we're going right across his doorstep, you know.
How much damage did it do to the ship?
None.
Why not?
Avoided him each time. We kept him up to 20,000 feet. Fortunately, we had a Bofors gun and a good gunner. So the first time he come in, he come in low down till the gunner opened up with his Bofors gun and went away. And when the time he come back, it was 20,000 feet. We could reach 20,000 feet and he used to be just above it, you know. But it was probably good bombing because one stick of bombs come down it. Just to say, "Mister, on the port side there." And I think if you'd been stood at the rail, you could have put your hand out and touched the bombs or that near. Lifted shipping. Ship with 9,000 ton of iron ore in it, lifted up about 2 or 3 feet, you know.
Yeah. Was this coming back from Huelva?
Yeah. So anyway, I got King's commendation for that.
Was the plane hit?
Pardon?
Was the aeroplane hit?
We couldn't reach him, he wouldn't come low enough.
Which year would that have been, do you think?
It was the two longest days of 1943.
Midsummer?
Seemed as though it would never come dark.
Did the
That shell case just around the corner there? That's one of the shells, the case of one of the shells that was fired at him. And I kept that for a souvenir.
Any other memories of the war against the Germans that you have personally in the Second World War?
Oh, yes, when I was at Huelva, you see that brass affair up there with a handle on it?
Yes, it's a container.
Pardon?
It's a container.
Yes. Actually, it's an antique Spanish coffee jug. And the British Vice Consul in New Albury, he gave me that for smuggling escaped prisoners of war out.
How did you do that?
Easily, even. We had Spanish police on board, and when we finished cargo, the whole cargo, got it back in the hatchery down, I'd get these Spanish police into my cabin for a farewell drink. The time they were having that, British Vice Consul used to bring these men aboard. We used to shove them down on the cargo and batten the hatches down. By the time police come out, our ship was all battened down and everything. It was smuggling empty jib. I wasn't the only one that was doing it. And there was any amount of these. They were all nationalities and they'd all escaped and come down on that pipeline. Started off somewhere in Poland and who passed on from safe house to safe house, you know. And that was the last run, was from Huelva to Jib.
Did you see anything of the POWs?
Prisoners of war?
Yeah, did you
see? Oh, yes, because as soon as we got out, we let them out of the hatch on deck in case we were hit, give them a chance to survive, you know.
Were they airmen or...?
Oh, they were airmen and soldiers and seamen and, you know. All nationalities they were.
What did you do with them once you got to Jib?
Oh, and we used to hand them over to the Navy. We used to have to anchor off in the bay. And then naval craft would come alongside and round them all up, like, you know, take them ashore for interrogation first, because they might have been German spies along with me, you know.
How many times did you do that, do you think?
About a dozen.
Do you think the Spanish officials suspected anything?
No, they never suspected anything. Because the ordinary Spanish people, they were all right. It was the officials.
Any other wartime memories that you got from the Second World War?
Ah, well, the last trip in her, Empire Trent. I got back and I got a phone call from Rovner's office, and they said, we all had an identity card, you know. And they said, have you got a V stamped on your card? I said, yes. I'd all thought you would have. Well, leave the Empire Trent now and go home, and we'll give you instructions in a couple of days' time. All right, I paid her off, and went home. And I got instructions, go to Sunderland and take over the Fort Finlay. She was a Canadian-built Liberty ship. And she's going on special operations. And that V on your identity card meant that you'd volunteered for special operations. So I went to Sunderland and took her over, and that was for the invasion of Normandy, D-Day. But I'd already been in an invasion of an old Empire Trent.
Can you describe what happened on D-Day?
Yes. But first I was in invasion of North Africa with the old Trent.
We'll go back to that later, but let's do D-Day first.
D-Day, yes. I went and took her over at Fort Finlay and got orders to go to the Firth of Forth. But we went up Firth of Forth. You couldn't see Firth of Forth for ships. It was crowded, absolutely crowded. And it's the biggest sea area is Firth of Forth. All anchored there. And then the signal come that we had to form up a convoy, you know. And well, given our position in this convoy, there were no further instructions, just for would wait for signals from the scummer there. So the evening about an hour and a half before sunset, signal come for the way anchor. Go away, Duncan, form convoy up. And we left further forth, and I've got a course to set. Now look at this course, I don't. Looks like Norway. Anyway, we went on this course at moderate speed, and then when sunset came, past light, past signal down by light, you know. When light's on, it's only a dim low light. You can just say, see it from one ship to the other. Signal came down the line. Turn around and make for the Thames. Utmost speed. So, right, we all turn around and proceed individually, not in a convoy. Of course, it was total blackout, there was no lighthouses lit or anything. Boys were all moved and their characteristics altered and everything. I steamed through the night, through the blackout, right away down to the Thames. I got there, Thames was full of ships. Pile of ships was Thames. And we got our order to Tilbury. Got into Tilbury. Next morning, troops started coming on board, and tanks loading over there. And the Welsh Guards had 600 Welsh Guards, 140 tanks, and the ammunition for the same. Went from there, anchored for about a day and a half off Southend at the north, you know. And then signal came, we had to go. So I went down there in a convoy, you know, and went down as far as the Isle of Wight. Then straight across from the Isle of Wight, straight across for Beachhead. Arrived there for dawn. We got in. At Aramanches we went to. We got there and there was landing craft there, already waiting, you know. And come alongside. Sling the tanks over into landing craft and troops as well, like, you know. It didn't take long to evacuate them all. And they went ashore. Meantime, it was like bedlam. Well, with gunfire and bombs and things like that, because the Germans had some big guns that they have. And they opened up, but where I was at Aramanches, who were just beyond the range, but certainly did a lot of damage to the poles landing at Sword Beach, because it was well within range of them. There's some heavy casualty in the pole, not till some aircraft went and bombed them and silenced them, you know. And it appeared like a lot of confusion, really, you know. Well, because minesweepers had been in and swept a channel, you know, and we had to keep to these channels, and we were anchored while we were discharging these troops and tanks and that. Just ahead of me, anchored ahead of me, was HMS Warspite, and he was shelling railheads, etc., about 20 mile inland. Well, so dark came. When dark came, just after it was dark, I saw a warspite pick his anchor up and then drift with the tide further along the coast. I thought, oh, you're getting ready for morning. But the Germans must have pinpointed him. Because just after it moved, gone up there was an air raid on that place. And they plastered it with bombs where it'd been. And your dad start your engine because there were acoustic mines, magnetic mines, there was pressure mines, every kind of mine you could think of the Germans had put down there. So that was, till our minesweepers had been in and cleared them, you know, that was what you had to do, is get your anchor and just drift with the tide till you got clear of the danger area.
What were the troops like on board?
Pardon?
What were the troops like that you had on board?
Oh, the morale was very high. These were the Welsh Guards I took, 600 of them. I think all the Guards divisions went across it on that same convoy. But the officer in charge of that battalion, for sake of a better word, of Welsh troops, was Colonel Browning. His wife was Daphne du Maurier.
Did you take them across on D-Day or after D-Day?
That was D plus four, I think it was.
Any other D-Day memories? Any other Normandy memories?
Oh, yes, I did. One trip did I do? 11.
To Normandy?
Yeah. Various beachheads, you know. After you got them ashore, straight back again to Tilbury for another lot, you know. Almost non-stop. Well, building it up, you know.
Which was the first landing that you took part in?
Pardon?
Which was the first landing that you took part in?
Oh, Algiers. Algiers.
This was North Africa landings?
Yes. Aye.
What was that like?
Well, I don't know. To me, it just seemed like chaos, you know. Well, they told me where I had to go to discharge my cargo, so I just went and did it. But when you went into these ports, you were at wartime. You didn't have any pilots or anything. You had to go in on your own, take them in yourself and moor them up and get a jetty and everything. You had no, because all the harbour staff used to clear off.
Did you have any problems getting into Algiers?
No. Hadn't been there before, but just studied the chart and, once I knew which pier I had to go to, just went in, steamed up and went to it.
What did you have on board on that occasion?
Ammunition.
No troops? Any troops?
No troops, no. Ammo.
Big shells or small ones?
Well, more or less small arms. All in cases, of course.
Did you just go in, unload, and then come out again?
Oh, yes. When I come out, the thing that's puzzled me all the time since, when I was ready for sailing, naval control officer come to me, he said, "Now, look." He said, "I want you to go to Lisbon." I said, "Yes." He said, "Some eucalyptus logs there. We want them badly." "So you go to Lisbon and bring those eucalyptus logs here." Right, oh. "Is there any convoy going?" "No, sir, you've got to go independent on your own." Oh, well, when I went to Lisbon, Portugal was entirely different. All their people were pro-British. They couldn't help you enough. I went in, where are the eucalyptus logs? They wanted a full cargo, between 2,000 and 3,000 tons. But they were big tree trunks, you know. It was top priority cargo, too. So back I went to Algiers with these, took them in, get them ashore in no time, and I've often wondered what they wanted them for. You know, to send a ship all that way for them. And priority. I know eucalyptus is more or less impervious to water. But you would have thought it wouldn't have mattered, just a temporary occupation like that.
Which landing did you do after Operation Torch in Algiers?
At D-Day was the next one.
You said you did four altogether.
Oh, yes. After D-Day, went down to Italy, Adriatic side. Started off at Taranto and finished up... The last place I was in was Ancona. I was first shipping to Ancona. I had to follow a minesweeper there because the army got there and captured Ancona. I was in the harbour office when news come through. And then, well, naval office. And they said, a couple of hours afterwards, you come back, sent for me. He said, you've got ammunition aboard, haven't you? I said, yes. He said, it's all small arms stuff, isn't it? I said, well, I don't know, offhand, you know. He said, look, we were just captured on corner. He said, there's no Italians there at all. He said, they've all fled. He said, the troops there, he said, they're short of ammunition, small arms ammunition. He said, you've got the stuff that they want. He says, are you willing to take it there? I said, yes, well, why? Well, he said, I'm asking you because, he said, there's no pilots and no body tie up or anything like that. He said, you've got to go through a minefield. He said, but a minesweeper will sail. He said, and you'll have to follow him. He'll have to keep very close behind him. And he wouldn't show any lights and all the rest of it. Get there for dawn. Oh, all right then. So we set off at dusk, this minesweeper. And I tucked on behind him. He had a very, very dim blue light. Very dim. More like just a bit of luminous something. To keep your eye on, to follow him. Followed him and followed him. And we got to off-hand corner. In the meantime, I'd been looking at chart and weighing hand corner up because I'd never been in there before. And it was only a small harbour. My ship was 450 feet long. I was having get in easy enough, what am I going to get out? Yeah. Yes. So I studied the chart, and I thought, now, I'll go into here, as soon as I get to the Breakwater Lighthouse, I shall let go my starboard anchor, and let it run, let the cable run, steam straight across, you can stem onto the quay then, into the lay of the land, like, you know. You mean you come stand on to the quay. And just before I get to the quay, just hang on to the cable and that will pull her head around a bit. And then you get her in alongside and get a rope ashore. So I had to have a man on a rope ladder hanging over the bow to drop him on the quay as soon as he touched. And managed, actually acted all right. Once could get a rope ashore, because there was nobody to take any, you see. And and started, soldiers come aboard and started throwing the ammunition ashore. Got quite a bit ashore, and Germans counterattacked and started shelling the place. So everybody, all soldiers abandoned ship. And most of crew did as well. Then the shell, it only lasted about half an hour, and it stopped. Evidently, driven them back again or something. Anyway, it stopped. And the soldiers returned and started throwing all the stuff out again. No cargo. And eventually, the cargo was out. So as soon as it was out, let go all the ropes. After I got tied up, I altered all the mooring ropes so I could let them go from the ship. You know, putting round the bull and at the end back aboard the ship again. So I could just let them go from the ship. Hove on the anchor, and that brought her head right round into the harbour mouth to go and just full, as soon as the anchor was away, full ahead, you're off. Then I had to get hold of the minesweeper again and follow him back through this minefield. When I got back, they told me the minefield was 72 miles long. Didn't tell me that before I'd started.
Did you take part in the south of France landings?
No. No. I come from Ancona. I went back to Bari. I've been in Bari before. And got orders to go to Alexandria. I went to Alexandria. Right, you're going to Burma. I left Alexandria and steamed to Madras. I was based at Madras running Indian troops across to Burma and Malaya.
In the Fort Finlay?
Yeah. That was till the war was over.
What was that like, running across the Bay of Bengal?
Oh, all right. Nice warm weather.
Have you got any VE Day or VJ Day memories?
Ah, VE Day, I was passing jib with ammunition from America, from New York. And VJ Day, I was halfway across from Madras to Malaya.